want us to go back to one of Jesus' teaching moments. He had many. One day, he was on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. He gets into a boat. And what does he do? He begins to teach about the kingdom of heaven. Because that kingdom of heaven would soon be established. Let's listen to the story he tells, because at the end of the story, he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." The importance of hearing and heeding what he has to say. And it's important. Matthew chapter 13. We're going to begin in verse 24. Sometimes this is just called the parable of the tares. Parable of the weeds. Verse 24 and 25 to start us out. Matthew 13. "Another parable he put forth to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way." Well, what's a tare? Well, when you look at it in the original language, it's a certain species of weed. Why did he use this particular weed in the illustration? Because this weed, when it begins to grow, looks very, very much like wheat. And so you have wheat growing and you have this tare growing, and they look almost identical until it's harvest time. And then you can tell the difference. But in the beginning, and as they're growing, they're almost identical. They're almost identical. Two seeds. There's some good seed being planted and there's some bad seed being planted because there's two different people sowing. There's two different people sowing. We're very fortunate in this parable because Jesus explains it to us. Most of the parables he doesn't explain to us, but this one he does. If you go down to verse 37 of the same chapter, Jesus begins to explain this parable. So there's no way we can misunderstand verse 37. "He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man." Well, now we know exactly who it is that's sowing the good seed. It's Jesus himself. That's how he often referred to himself, Son of Man. That was like his favorite description of who he was. He says, "The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels." Well, we know very clearly now who's who. Jesus is the one who sows the good seed, who the good seed are the children of God. The bad seed are the ones being sown by, that's right, Satan, the devil himself. And they're the children of the wicked one. Well, how does Jesus do that today? We know he's not here on this earth. Well, how's he sowing good seed? And how are the children of God produced? We know from the first parable he gave, the parable of the sower, that they're produced when the gospel, the word of God, falls on good soil. And that good soil receives the gospel, the word of God, and produces the children of God. But you know what? There's some responsibility on our part to do what? Sow the seed. Jesus left us with that responsibility. And we don't just do it on Sunday. We need to be doing it every day of the week in some way or fashion or form, sowing the good seed. Sowing the seeds of the kingdom. I appreciate David leading that song for us because that's exactly what this lesson is about. And that's what the parable is about. Sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother. That is what you and I are to be doing. And it's so important. Because what's the devil doing? He's not sowing the good seed. He's sowing bad seed. But what's bad seed? Well, if the good seed's the Word of God, what's bad seed? Everything that's not the Word of God. False teaching, false doctrine, whatever we might want to call it. That's bad seed. All you have to do is turn the TV on Sunday morning and you'll see a lot of bad seed being sown. It's being sown by so many different people. Listen to the radio, a lot of bad seed being sown. Get on the internet, lots of bad seed being sown. So Satan is sowing his seed as well, and he hasn't stopped. He was sowing it in the first century, and he's still sowing it. So whenever anyone is teaching anything other than the Word of God, they're sowing bad seed. And the result is going to be children of the wicked one. Children of the wicked one, that's what he says. Satan wants hell to be as full as possible. That's his job. Now, he knows he's been defeated. He realized that when Jesus was raised from the dead. He knew that he was defeated. So his job since then is trying to deceive as many people as possible. Listen to these words of Luke chapter 8, verse 12. Luke chapter 8, verse 12. These are the words of Jesus. This is Luke's version of the parable of the sower. This is what Jesus says. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes. Notice who's doing this. It's Satan. The devil comes and takes the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. See, Satan does not want anybody to be saved. That's his all-encompassing, all-ranging purpose now, is to have as many people lost as possible. And he's doing that through people on TV, people on radio, people in print, people on the internet that are teaching something that disagrees with this book. And he's sowing using those people. So he's trying to deceive people so that they won't believe and be saved. That's what he wants. Jesus said he was doing it in the first century. He was sowing bad seed, and it was producing children of the wicked one. And that's always what it's going to do. Paul even warned, remember what he told the churches in Galatia? Even if an angel preaches another gospel unto you, let him be accursed. Paul said, if anyone at all is teaching anything other than the gospel, Paul says he needs to have a death sentence. That's what that word basically means, anathema, a death sentence pronounced upon him. That's how serious it is. So when we hear people teaching something other than the gospel, that's what they're doing. They're pronouncing a death sentence on people who believe them. But it's Satan, Jesus says, that's behind it. He's the one that's doing it. Any human religious organization has come into the world as a result of Satan. Jesus only started one church. Every other religion, every other church, whatever we might want to call it, has came from Satan sowing the bad seed. So that's why Jesus gives us this parable. And that's why at the end of the parable he says, if you have ears to hear, hear it. Listen to it, obey it, heed it. Because that's how important it is. Be careful. And so we as Christians should never ever do anything that would help Satan sow these tares, weeds, bad seed. Well, let's see what happens. Back to chapter 13, verse 26. Notice the growth. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. Remember, they're growing side by side, and they look very similar. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?" In other words, where did the weeds come from? He said to them, "An enemy has done this." The servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. The first thing we need to know, and I think one of the most important points, and Jesus explains it, is that the field here is the entire world, he says. It's not just the church. It includes everybody in the entire world. If we go back to what we read before, verse 38 says, the field is the world, not the church. It would include the church. The entire world. Jesus is Lord of heaven and earth. Remember what he told his disciples in Matthew 28, 18? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority. Every individual is accountable to God. It doesn't make any difference where they were born or where they lived or how they have grown up. Jesus says everyone is accountable to me. Everyone. So this parable is not about church discipline. It doesn't have anything to do with church discipline. It has to do with the fact that Satan is sowing weeds. He's sowing bad seed. And the way he does that is through some type of teaching that contradicts God's word. But what did the master say? Did he say, pull up the weeds? He said, no. Why? Because you might do what? Destroy the good seed. You know, the Bible is very clear that you and I are not going to be the judge on the day of judgment. We're not going to be the judge on the day of judgment because I might be pulling up some good seed. I might have thought this person was very wicked when indeed he wasn't, or vice versa. That's why you or I or no human counsel or anything else will be the judge. It's going to be Jesus himself who will not make a single mistake about anything. When I see wickedness, I'm not supposed to use violence to try and destroy it. Now, some religions do that, don't they, and have for years. Notice Islam. That's what they've done for centuries, since, what, the 600s. So they've been doing that for 1,400 years. They use violence. Still do. Jesus says, don't use violence. Don't use violence. It's one thing he's warning us about. That is not what we're to do. Because the final condemnation is going to be made by Christ. That doesn't mean we shouldn't try and influence the world for good, because we should. We should try and influence the world for good. And if we can get rid of wickedness and evil and immorality, we need to do everything we can to do it. But not by violence. Not by going out and pulling up that weed. That's what he means by violence. Not by violence, but by influence, by teaching, by voting. See, those are all non-violent means. Nonviolent means. These weeds may grow and even flourish, and those weeds did. Sometimes the weeds look better than the wheat. If you ever raised a garden, you know that sometimes the weeds look really, really good. I mean, it might not rain for a month, but those weeds are still growing like crazy. So just because this plant is flourishing and looking good doesn't mean it's good. That's something we need to understand from this. And so the analogy is, just because a church or a denomination or a religion or whatever is growing doesn't mean it's not a weed. Sometimes the weeds look the best. Some tares, the Bible says, some weeds resemble the wheat. Jesus, through inspiration, through the Holy Spirit, is warning us about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's turn there for just a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Second Corinthians 11, we're going to begin in verse 13. 2 Corinthians is much about Paul kind of defending his apostleship because there were people who was claiming he was not a real apostle. Yeah. Well, now he says there are some people who aren't real apostles. Notice verse 13. He says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." Sometimes Satan and his workers look good. They look righteous. They look holy. Paul says, don't be deceived. That's what Jesus is teaching in this parable. Just because the weeds are growing doesn't mean they're wheat. They're not. But there is a harvest coming. Back in Matthew 13. Now notice verse 30. He says, "Let both," talking about the wheat and the tares, "grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." Now let's notice what Jesus said that meant. Verse 39 and following. It says, "The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels." There's going to be angels involved in judgment. "Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Jesus said it's all going to come down to two groups and two only. That's it. Just two. Later on, Matthew chapter 25, he's going to tell about the Son of Man when he descends. He's going to sit on the throne and he's going to divide everybody into two groups. The sheep on the right and the goats on the left. Two groups. The Bible always talks about just two groups. There's just two ways. And that's the way it is. So evil is going to be dealt with at the judgment. Jesus knows exactly the wheat and the tares, the good and the bad. He knows exactly what they are. Not a single mistake will be made. And there's going to be immense suffering for the weeds. That's what he said. Immense suffering. Wailing, gnashing of teeth, agony, pain. And why is that? Because of God's justice and holiness. It must be that way. It must be that way. But the wheat, on the other hand, are what? The wheat, the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. It says the wheat's going to be gathered into my barn. Safety. Heavenly home. Those people, the righteous, the wheat, are the ones who have been made righteous by God forgiving them. It says that's what this parable is, and that's what it means, and that's why he said, if you have ears to hear, let you hear. He says this is what it's all about. This is about the coming day of judgment. You know, Jesus said, everybody is going to be judged by my word. Remember what he told them in John chapter 12, verse 48. My word will judge them in that day. Judge who? Everybody. Everybody. No exceptions. That song has a lot of meaning. Are you sowing the seeds of the kingdom, brother? What kind of seeds are we sowing? What kind of seeds are we sowing? Because in that day of judgment, we want to be the wheat. And certainly not the tares. This morning may be the morning you've decided to answer that call of the gospel. And if it is, we want to encourage you to listen to the words of this invitation song. And if it's time for you to make that response, we want you to do that as we stand and sing.